You're listening to Bit by Bit, Mobile Edition, May 23rd, 2006. Hello and welcome. This is Bob Sprankle, and we are traveling at 65 miles per hour. I'm here with Cheryl Oakes, and we're on a road trip up to Biddeford. And as these are the days where everything is so busy, we are trying to kill two birds with one stone and actually do a podcast while we go on this little road trip here. And so thus the car noise, and I really have no idea how this is coming out. And I'm not sure how my thoughts will be while driving, Cheryl. So I'm going to let you hold it.
All right.
I'm driving, just so people know.
And I think if any of you have heard Scott Lockman, whenever I hear Scott Lockman podcast, I never know where he's going to be. In the train, walking down the street, or in his apartment with his children. And this reminds me of a little bit of Scott Lockman.
This is really stepping out. Now, you're probably saying, well, if Cheryl's there, why isn't this a Seedlings? But we cannot have a Seedlings show unless three of us are there, and Alice is not here. It's in the charter, so we're going to call this a bit-by-bit show, and since I haven't gotten a bit-by-bit show out for a while, this is good. The good thing, Cheryl, I think, is that it's so hot in this car that we'll probably keep this really short because we'll have to breathe sooner or later.
Yes.
All right, you want to introduce the topic?
Sure. We are going to share our thoughts with you about the DOPA conversations that are happening around the blog right now, and some of them may be a little presumptuous, some of the conversations may be, because this is just a proposed legislation. But regardless, once I read about the proposed legislation, I did contact both of my Congress people, and we're even thinking of having some of our students write to them because they will be affected the most. And DOPA, I don't even know what the acronym stands for. Do you, Bob?
I don't. And not being at the computer makes it difficult.
And something about deleting online predators, Act. Oh, that's true. So I think what's not a good idea about legislating this act, even though I'm definitely not in favor of predators, I think that our education, educating students and educating parents, is far more effective than legislating blogs and the internet airwaves.
So the legislation is saying what now? No access to MySpace at schools or libraries too, right?
That's right.
And also blogs in particular?
It's all about social learning and the
social networks.
So it would include Flickr sites, Delicious accounts, anything that can be tagged socially and shared with other people is what's being targeted at this point. And then there's some other wording in there about commercial versus non-commercial sites, and I'm not altogether clear about that. But it's definitely looking at the MySpace accounts, Facebook, and things of that nature, where the current digital natives, young people population, have really just gone wild with publishing and being empowered to publish what they want to publish, when they want to publish, and how they want to get their message out.
So it's hard to drive and think. this is a proposal. I talked to my kids a little bit about it, and they, you know, right away I said, oh, by the way, Mrs. Oakes wants to talk about letter writing for this. And immediately they just were outraged, you know, because they see it threatening their blog. But would it actually threaten, like, the access that, like, the Room 208 blog has? I mean, a school blog site, would it actually impact that?
Well,
just
I think
playing devil's advocate, trying to see the whole.
Right, and I think where it gets into the nitty-gritty of the specifics that it would impact, if you look at your blog where people are allowed to make comments, so that would be considered a social network. Even though it's moderated, would that be legislated? I don't know. and I don't know how many exceptions to the rule there will be. Would the Think.com space that we use that's provided by Oracle, which is a moderated online school project, would that be eliminated from our internet service at school? I don't know. I don't know if they'll just say a blog is a blog is a blog, or a social network is a social network and it's not available. It's the whole collaboration that could be shut down. And I think that's the next level of the read-write web, where our digital natives, our students, are going to want to collaborate with people, not just collaborate within their schools.
Yeah, there's that whole other side to it, too. Even if this doesn't pass, what I see districts, looking more towards, and I found a site today, I'll put it in the show notes if I can find it again. Can't even think of the name right now, being in the car, but I think a lot of people are going to want those closed communities, like Think.com, and I think Think.com is great. I think, especially for an elementary school, having this gated, closed community where it's not open to the entire world, works at that age level. But what I do fear is that, if schools are setting up their own blogs and their own servers that other people can't get into, then you really still are isolating yourself. Maybe a little larger than we've had in the past. We're getting off on this exit. Okay. In the past, where you're just trapped in your own classroom, now you're collaborating maybe with especially in large districts, that might be great. But that whole access to the entire world is what's going to happen. And I said we could do a whole show on this. What Think.com is doing for these kids is it's training them how to behave on a social network and how to ethically and morally conduct themselves. And if we just shut all this down, then we're once again throwing them out there. I said to you yesterday, this is like Yoda. When Anakin Skywalker, when they find out about Anakin Skywalker and they decide not to train him. I remember the critics saying, well, that's why he turns into Darth Vader. They just kind of throw him out there. Here's this kid with all this. All right, I'm digressing into my Star Wars experience. But, it's the same thing. We have to kind of train these kids how to go through this. And I see that with what you're doing with the Think.com, without a doubt. And, I don't want to see us bury our heads in the sand and just try to ignore that this exists because of the media that's happening.
Left lane. Yeah. We're going to pause. Some of the conversations that I have with webheads all around the globe, they'll visit some of our websites and some of the images are blocked. Well, the images that I put on a social network, Image Shack, were blocked in Abu Dhabi. So I'm just, and I thought, well, that's really horrible for you to have internet access and then all of a sudden try to click on a link and go to what's available to most of us in the world, all of a sudden is blocked because of a government. And that's what would happen if we went with this DOPA Act in the United States. We were going to legislate what people are able to view and decide what's appropriate for kids or not.
Okay, we've actually stopped. We're shutting off the car, so hopefully this is a little better. And we have air now. my other point is, and we're going to put some links to these articles that I get through Tech Learning Online Magazine. So I think you have to be a member to read the articles, but it's free. And actually, these links are from CNET, so I think they're okay. But, the one article is all about how kids are able to get around all these filters, all these firewalls. And, it really is, so easy. And one thing that the article is talking about is that, kids are setting up their own computers at home as proxies to go in anonymously to, they're bouncing off their home computer, as I understand it, to get into these sites. And, I guess this is really easy. And, so then there was a response to that article from this high school student, I'm pretty sure, and I'll put a link to that, just basically saying, why are the taxpayers made to pay for this? Because, no matter what is put up, kids are going to be able to get around this. And, he's pretty articulate in it, too, saying, I don't see kids going to all these terrible sites, And I think we're at that crossroad as a society, you know. I mean, we always are when we come to these new things. But, you know, clearly we don't want these things in our schools. We don't even really want them in our library. You know, we have to be safe. But you're not going to be able to shut out somebody bringing something in, mm-hmm. you know. And we have to put things in place at a local level, I would think, you know, with the principal or the people that are in charge of the discipline. Besides the, you know, the whole state or the whole country having to take over that. Any thoughts on, you didn't really read that article, but...
Right, but it just goes back to, you know, how many walls are you going to put up for the kids to jump through, I mean, hoops to jump through, walls to climb over, and how much energy will you expend on that versus doing the education that exactly. is going to have long-term better results.
Because they're going to go there anyway.
Right.
And maybe even, like, you know, who knows what the effect of filters have had, you know. Perhaps, you know, like the article said, or one of the articles I read was saying how, you know, in the first few days they figured out how to get around this, and, you know, the word spread all around the school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have been so widespread of, like, here's how we can, you know, not cheat the system, but, you know, break the rules, and you know, maybe kids that weren't even enticed to do that were because it was just so readily available. And
it's a challenge.
It's a challenge, yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we'll watch and see what happens with this legislation and as it gets more refined, but write to your congresspeople and tell them there's a better way.
There is a better way. Do you know that better way? Besides education.
Education.
Education, yeah. Yeah. Education. Also, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, and, you know, we're Alan November, and, you know, Wes Fryer, I know Wes Fryer has, like, a space on MySpace, and he's talked some principles into it, and, you know, the kids are flabbergasted that mm-hmm. their principal has a space at MySpace, and I think that takes a little bit of the wind out of it even, but, you know, again, it's like, here, you know, those principals are saying, we care about you. We're going to be here. We're, you know, we're going to go through this with you. You know, we're going to make sure that the conversation continues and that we keep you safe. And, you know, what a great idea to jump right in there, mm-hmm. you know, and make it a safe place.
Yep.
So, I mean, MySpace could change overnight.
Right.
It could be another place. What was that first place that started and then just lost everybody to MySpace? I can't think of... Friendster, right? And then everybody, you know... It wasn't what they wanted, and, like, almost overnight, mm-hmm. everybody went to MySpace, and, you know, AOL has something coming up, so these things can change, and we've got to help with the evolution of it.
We have to be there if we want to help.
That's right, exactly. Okay, well, this is a 13-minute show. That's not too bad. We should do more driving shows. You've been listening to Bit by Bit in the car. Hope you enjoyed this casual conversation. I did. And we will try to get another Bit by Bit up soon, and we will definitely have a seedling show on Memorial Day. We're going to try to do that.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. And that is going to be about Mark Prensky's book, Mom, Don't Bother Me, I'm Learning, which is a really incredible read, and so we'll talk about that book. So you want to get in touch with us, it's bitbybitpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.